Oh, I think we need a bit of sort of lost love music here, because Valentine's Day not always is a successful outcome, but I want to just spin this one. We got this one? We don't have this one. Here we go.
Won't you play? Sing it with me, Benno.
Somebody does somebody wrong song.
See, Valentine's Day is good for some, but not for everybody. It rolls around again next week, and while it's a romantic occasion for most folks, it's a time when you must stay vigilant if you're looking for love online. Be careful how you swipe. Jan Marshall, unfortunately, learned the hard way, and in 2012, she had over $250,000 stolen from her by a heartless conman passing off as a wealthy British engineer named Eamon.
The money's gone. It will never be recovered. Jan has become an advocate for victims of romance scams. She's also written a book called Romance Scam Survivor, The Whole Sordid Story, which is out next week. And pleased to say we've got Jan on the line. Hello, Jan.
Hi there, Nick. Hi there, Kayleigh. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
We're well. Take us back to the beginning. What led you to try out online dating for the first time?
I had moved states and came from Brisbane down into Victoria, and of course was really wanting to explore Victoria. It's a beautiful place, and wanted to do that with somebody rather than doing it alone. So I did go online looking for what I thought was just a companion to explore the state at that time, but very quickly conned me into being much more.
Mm.
And the techniques are very much, they express their love quickly, they get you off the dating sites, and then really manipulate your emotions.
So why did Eamon, I'm sure that's not his real name, why did he go about getting you off the dating sites? How does that work to his advantage?
It means that they have clear access to you. A lot of the dating sites have their own email system, which has some security to it.
Right.
But, of course, once they get you off the dating site, they can also take down their fake profile.
Oh, well, okay.
And you can't continue to then check on what they said and, you know, what they said they liked or didn't like. So that's another trick, is to take their profiles down.
And they're no longer accountable.
That's right. And, of course, the longer they are up there, the more likely it is that at least the better sites will suss out that they have a fake profile up there. So they're very keen to get you off.
So what was it like in the early days? Was he charming and swept you off your feet?
Absolutely. I mean, so much so that I agreed to marry him. I thought this was the love of my life.
Yeah.
And had you met him at that stage?
No. This is all online, on phones, a lot of contact. They really talk to you two or three or four times a day. A lot of information gets shared up front, but I'm sure a lot of that is to profile you and figure out how to get to you.
Looking back now, how did he go about finding out that you had some assets?
Look, in the early days, I was being open and sort of saying one of my likes was property investment. And the thing is, whether I had any money or not, I know from all of the work I've done with other victims is that they will get out of you what they can. And I've even seen people with very little resources be scammed of what little excess they have. You know, I lost over $250,000, as you said, but many people might lose $10,000 or $30,000, and that might not seem a lot in comparison, but to them it's everything.
It's everything, yeah.
Well, it's a good conversation to have. Jan Marshall is with us, and thank you for your honesty. She's written a book, Romance Scam Survivor, The Whole Sordid Story. So in losing over $250,000, was that one big amount of cash at once, or was it a bunch of installments?
It was a bunch of money. Sometime it was sent via bank. When I started to get very cautious about what I was doing, I thought going via the bank was safer, but a lot of it was sent via Western Union and MoneyGram. And, you know, you start off with a little bit and you think, oh, that's okay. I want to be in a partnership with this person.
Mm.
And, of course, my money is their money, and they're promising that once they get access to their money, you'll get it back. And a lot of it is supposedly a loan. It's not like giving it over willy-nilly, but you think you'll get it back, but of course you never do.
How long after you were talking to him online did he ask you for money?
I would say it was probably about 6 weeks.
And what did he tell you it was for?
Initially, it was for business purposes. He had gone to Dubai as an engineer working on a oil pipeline maintenance, and he'd miscalculated some of his needs there. And he had money back in England, which he couldn't access because he'd made some of that money with oil, and they were putting a block on it because they thought it might be money laundering.
Right.
Okay, so you never got to meet him at all?
No.
Okay.
Do you know what's become of him?
Lots and lots. Look, I believe it was a Nigerian scammer.
Yeah? It's interesting.
That information came back via Western Union when the police got onto them to let them know the names that were being used by the scammer, and they said the money had gone to Nigeria, even though I didn't pay it to Nigeria. Mm. I paid it to Dubai. But Western Union said it had gone to Nigeria.
So he hands over you the first amount of money, and then the second time, what does he say he needs more for?
The stories go on and on. It was originally some materials. Then it was he needed to pay tax because he hadn't realised that being in Dubai, the tax regime needed to pay it.
Mm. At what point was there a red flag for you?
Unfortunately, not until I had paid all the money. And I've got to say, there were probably red flags, but I was stepping over them.
But
you know, and there was all sorts of things. There was money for tax, and then he was supposedly threatened a fortnight later because he needed to pay the second half of his tax.
Did you have a light bulb moment though, when you just hang on a minute, what have I done, or this isn't right? What was that moment?
Through the process, there were times when I thought this could be a scam, but I always thought it couldn't be because it was too intimate.
Mm.
You know, and this is the thing, they build up such an intimacy with you that you step over any red flags, and I certainly did that right until the end. Right until he stopped the contact with me, and it was only when the contact stopped that I realised it's a scam. I'm never going to get this money back.
We're talking scams. 13 12 83. Have you ever been scammed online, and have you come close to being really badly scammed? Or did you wake up at some point and think, "Wow, no more. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead"? Do you know anybody who's become a victim to online scammers, romance, financial, or otherwise? We'd love to talk to you about it. Might help out other people, like Jan is helping out folks right now by talking about it. 13 12 83 is the number. Have you said to win 10K, which is legit, most certainly
legit
not
money.
A scam.
Yeah. Jan, did he have a photo of himself that was, obviously wasn't the same person, but was there a photo that he gave you of himself?
Absolutely. There were three or four photos, a very mature, interesting-looking grey-haired man. I thought, you know, he's an interesting-looking man. He looked sophisticated. He was writing in a sophisticated way, and I thought that was good. At least it's somebody I can communicate with.
So the language wasn't, I guess, third world. It was like really good English?
Yes.
Yeah.
And did he speak well?
You didn't speak to him?
Yes, he spoke well also.
You spoke to him on the phone?
Oh, yes, many times.
Wow. And with a British accent?
Look, they will always say they have a mixed descent, which covers up any non-British-sounding accent. So, for example, he supposedly had a Russian father and an Irish mother.
Mm.
And I've seen other profiles linked to the same photo, and they are usually of mixed heritage. And that's how they cover the fact that it might not be a purely British-sounding accent.
Jan, how's the book going?
Look, the book's written, it's ready. It actually ships from the 13th of February.
Mm.
I'm very pleased with the way it's come up. It took me 5 years to get it together, 5 years since I was scammed.
Yep.
And I probably wrote it in three parts. The first part was immediately after I was scammed, I took all of the emails and the communications because I needed to understand what had happened.
Mm.
And I got all of that together in a sort of timeline, and then I couldn't look at it for a couple of years. I went into depression. I was dealing with my grief. I was dealing with the ATO because they then wanted to tax the money that I'd taken out of my super fund.
Wow.
So there was all sorts of stuff going on. You know, I had to move house several times and downsize a couple of times because I simply couldn't afford the rent. It was a tough time.
And how did the ATO treat you? Did they give you some grace given the circumstances?
No.
Oh, no. Really?
What had happened was I had taken money out of a self-managed super fund that I was not eligible for, and they take that sort of thing very, very seriously.
They sure do.
And so they taxed me at the full tax rate, which is 46.7% on about $165,000, which gave me an additional $76,000 debt.
Wow, so you clearly dropped over $300,000 in this whole affair.
Yes, absolutely.
Well,
so
Jan,
have you met anyone since, Jan, or you just don't want to go there?
I haven't wanted to go there, quite honestly.
Yep.
Now I've got the book written, I sort of really know that I need to deal with, you know, whatever little part I had in the process. You know, I was longing for somebody and I need to sort of deal with that, and that'll be the next step. Look out for a book in another sort of 6 to 12 months.
Good on you,
Good
Jan.
On you, Jan.
I hope it goes nuts, and I'm sure that it's going to help anybody who has similar scenarios to yours. There goes Jan Marshall. The book is called Romance Scam Survivor, coming out soon. 13